was at school, I was never really that great of a math student, mainly because I just really didn't like math. It wasn't interesting to me. I didn't really care about it. It was just one of those things you just had to suffer through, and that was how I looked at that subject. Definitely my least favorite subject. We go to 2 Peter 1, though. We see a little bit of math in the Bible. There is math in the Bible, unfortunately. As much as I dislike it, we see it's in the Bible. There's even a book in the Old Testament named Numbers, we know. So there's math in the Bible. This is a spiritual equation that we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 that was read earlier. It tells us to add things together. And when we add those things together, we see that there is a result. It equals something. As we see, he tells us this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. So you add all of these things together, and it's going to equal something. There's going to be a result that comes from that. And then what he tells us is the result, verse 10, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, if you add all these things together, he says, you will never stumble. And for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's the result. Add all these things together in your life, and the result is going to be you're not going to stumble. You're going to live a life that's pleasing to God. And ultimately, you're going to have the reward that God promises. That's what that equals when you add all those things together in your life. This morning, I'd like to begin with faith. Peter, in this passage, reminds us that we have to grow in our service to God. That's what this is all about. Adding these things to our life as we go along. Growing in our service to God. That's what Peter is reminding us here that we must do. And as we see these eight areas for growth in these seven verses are things I'd like to examine closely, each one of these things, over the next several weeks. And this lesson, as we said, we're going to begin with faith and look at the way that it's important for us to have faith and how we need to develop faith in our lives as we live our lives dedicated to follow the Lord. So what is faith anyway? Well, let me give you two different definitions. Let me first tell you what Webster says. The dictionary says belief and trust in and loyalty to God, firm belief in something, or complete trust. That's what faith is. We talk, as we sometimes think about what a faithful person does. If we're faithful, what does that mean? What does that mean we're going to do? Well, it's more than just believing in God. Some people think that that's all there is to faith. It's just a matter of belief. I believe in God. And that's only a part of faith. That's not complete faith that the Bible tells us we must have. Complete faith in God is not only believing in Him, but having confidence in Him and obeying Him because of that belief and that confidence that we have in Him. Obeying His commands. Well, we told you what Webster says. Let's look at the biblical definition of faith. And you're familiar with that probably in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what supports our understanding of God. Faith is what supports our understanding of His will for us. It is complete confidence in what God says. It is obedience to the commands of God. That's what faith is. The complete faith that God expects us to have. That's what faith is. Well, why do we need this faith? Why is Peter reminding us to add that to our lives? Why is it important that we have faith in our lives? Well, faith is important in our relationship first with God. Later on, as you see there in Hebrews 11, and we looked at the definition of faith in verse 1, the Hebrew writer tells us in verse 6 that this faith that he tells us what it is, without it, he says, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He says, without it, we can't please God. Makes faith pretty important then, doesn't it? that without it, we cannot have a relationship with God. We cannot be pleasing with Him. That's why we need faith. That makes it real important. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, Paul tells us another important aspect of our faith and our relationship with God and why it's so important that we have faith. In chapter 14 of Romans, in verse 23, he says, "For he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he who does not eat from faith." And notice that last statement he makes. He says, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." Isaiah tells us it's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that keeps us from having a relationship with God. And so we see that anything that is not done from faith is sin. It separates us from God. We cannot have a relationship with God if we don't have faith. So it's very important in our relationship with God. Faith is a necessary part of our salvation. That's why we need faith. Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus, when the very beginning, sent against the disciples out into all the world to preach the gospel, and the message he told them to preach was, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Faith, belief, confidence in the Lord. Those are the things that he wanted them to go and teach. We later see in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, the Philippian jailer. And he asked the question here to those disciples who Jesus had sent into the world to preach this message. And he asked the question in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And their answer to him was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you and your household." And as you continue to read, that belief led him to be baptized. True faith, complete faith, resulted in his obedience to the message of the apostles. But he needed that faith. It was a necessary part for him to have salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Notice what Paul writes there. As he talks about the preaching that saves those that believe, those that have this faith. In verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Those who have faith. Those are the ones who have salvation. It's a necessary part. And one other verse, as we go back to Hebrews chapter 4 again, and the Hebrew writer talks about this faith that brings us to a boldness and a confidence in even approaching the Almighty God. In verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, he said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And flip over a few more pages there to chapter 10 and verse 22. And he says there, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Faith is what we need for salvation. So we see it's important in our relationship with God. It is a necessary part of our salvation. That's why we need faith. Not only that, we need faith in our relationship with one another on this earth in our lives. Faith will cause us to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to strengthen one another. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul talks about how important faith is to help us realize really our condition in this life. And again, it's a motivating factor really for us to be obedient to God. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Because of his faith, Paul says, "I know who I am. I know that I need the Lord. I know I've been crucified with Him, and I know I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for Him." That's what faith will do in our lives. And it will cause us to live for not only Him, but we'll serve one another as well. And that's what Paul lived his life and gives a great example for us to follow. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And our lives here on earth, our relationship with one another, and the obstacles that we face from time to time. What leads us to victory? What leads us to overcome those things? Our faith. We need faith. We see the importance of it. So now we know what faith is. Now we know it's very important that we develop it, that we add it to our lives. Now the question is, well, just how do we do that? How do we develop a strong faith? How do we grow in our faith? Well, it starts as Romans 10, beginning in verse 14, tells us, it starts by listening. It starts by hearing. It starts by understanding what God would have us to do. Notice in Romans 10, beginning in verse 14, he says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall the preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?" See a series of questions here about this belief and faith. And then the conclusion, though, that's drawn in verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where does developing faith start? Listening to God. Through assembling with the saints, through Bible classes, through preaching, through just studying the God, personal study, reading God's Word, letting Him speak to us in those ways, listening to God, hearing His Word. That's how that faith begins to develop. That's where it all begins. And we have to be diligent to study the Word of God, to listen to His message, to listen to what He tells us to do, and to obey it. Over in John chapter 20 and verse 30, it tells us concerning Jesus and the things that He did, and why these things are recorded for us to read and for us to study. And I think it's interesting here, as it says in verse 30 of John 20, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Jesus did many things that we don't even know about. But there are things that are recorded that we do know, and listen to the purpose of those things in verse 31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is this Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. These things are given to us to develop our faith so that we can believe in Jesus and have confidence in Him and know Him and who He is, that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. And we have to study these things. We have to listen to the message that God has supplied us with. That's what we must do in order to develop faith. That's where it begins. In John chapter 4 and verse 42, we see and there's several examples we can look at of a developing faith. The Samaritans in John 4 and verse 42 give us a good example of this developing of faith. He says there in verse 42, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." We see where that faith started was they heard Him. They listened. That's what we need to do. We need to listen to God. Faith comes by hearing. That's what they did. In Acts 14 and verse 1, the Jews and the Greeks, they heard the message and they believed the message. It started with them hearing. They couldn't believe something that they didn't know. In Acts 14 and verse 1, it happened in Iconium, that they went together to the synagogues of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and Greeks believed. They heard it, they believed. Acts 18 and verse 8, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. That's where it begins. Listening to God, hearing the message, and then believing it, developing that faith, and then obedience. They were baptized. That's where that faith is developed. And that's what we must do, is listen to God every opportunity we have to listen to God. We must take it. And we see many examples of that developing faith. Without the teaching of God's Word, there is no faith. Can you have faith if you don't study? Can you have growing faith if you don't attend regularly the services to worship God and to hear the message proclaimed? If we don't study the Word of God, can we develop our faith? I think the Scriptures tell us we're not going to be developing our faith if we're not listening to God. So we know how to develop it. Well, what's going to happen when we do have a strong faith? What's the result of strengthening our faith? So we looked at before that equals, you won't stumble if you have all these things. And there's many things I think that are benefits that will come from a strengthening our faith. First of all, just in our lives on this earth. Now, one of the greatest statements made that gives us as Christians, I think, great comfort when we face the obstacles and challenges that we face in life are the words that Paul writes in Philippians 4 and verse 13, and we all know that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you think of that from the perspective of the Apostle Paul, when you think about it from all that he had been through, when you think about it from his life even being threatened, even on a daily basis, that he could say anything, all these things I'm facing, I can get through them. I can make it because I have Christ on my side and he's giving me the strength I need. When we think about it from that perspective, and then we look at our perspective, we don't have any excuse to complain, do we? When we consider what Paul went through, and he was willing to go through it and say, I can make it because Christ is going to give me the strength that I need. When we have that kind of faith that Paul had, that even though we faced many challenges and things in our life and persecutions, that I can make it through this because Christ is going to strengthen me. When we have that confidence and that faith in the Lord, we can indeed overcome anything that we face. Another benefit in our lives to having faith, James 1 and verse 3. James tells us, you know, there's going to be times when our faith is tested. But when we have a strong faith and we've developed a strong faith and we're able to overcome those times when our faith is tested, it's going to produce something that's beneficial for us. And as James tells us there, that's patience. He says the testing of your faith produces patience. It's like another great benefit that we see. That will have that patience and perseverance that will develop in us as well. And that's one of the things, incidentally, that's listed here by Peter that we'll talk about later on. Perseverance and that patience that we will need. It also gives us confidence in physical needs. Matthew 6 and verse 33 points out that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He tells us all these things will be added to us. Seek first God. And then we don't really have to worry about the other things of life. Do we really believe God when He tells us that, though? You know, some people think, well, I have to do this and that to make sure I've got food on the table. And God says, put me first. I'll make sure you have the food on the table. We might not have everything, all the luxuries that we want necessarily, but He says, put me first. You'll have what you need. Do we really have faith in God to provide for us in that way? Sometimes maybe we lack in that faith. If we truly have a strong faith, we're going to believe God when He says that. That He's going to provide for us if we put Him first. So it brings that confidence that we need. There's also great spiritual benefits and results of strengthening our faith. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy the 4th chapter in verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. Paul, because of his faith, had great confidence that he was going to overcome temptations and sin. And great faith will keep us from sin. That was the confidence that Paul had. That he was going to be kept from sin because of the faith that he had. And not only that, earlier, flip over a few pages to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Paul talks about the confidence that we have in our eternal reward where he says, I know whom I believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul says, I know, I have faith, I believe in Jesus, I know, I'm persuaded, I have confidence in what He has said and the promises that He has made. And when we have that kind of confidence, when we understand that the Lord has said and means what He says, and that we will face Him in judgment, and that we will answer for the things good and bad that we've done in our lives, when we have that kind of confidence in the promises of God, and we face temptations each and every day, we're going to overcome those things because of that strong faith and confidence that we have in God. So important that we develop that strong faith. Also, in dealing with other people, we've talked about that as well. A strong faith will help us in encouraging one another. 2 Thessalonians 1, flip over there and read with me in beginning in verse 3. I want you to put yourself in the position of the brethren who receive a letter from Paul. From the Apostle Paul, again, we talked about his perspective and the things that he had went through. And the challenges that he had and the times he had been persecuted and all those things. Can you imagine receiving a letter from the Apostle Paul that had these words, beginning in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. How encouraging must that have been for those brethren to receive these words written by Paul. That says, we thank God for you. We are thankful always, brethren, for you. Because of your growing faith. Because of how you're able to persevere. For how you're able to build one another up. For how you're able to overcome tribulations and endure. How encouraging must that have been for them. And it was all a result of the strong faith that they had. Powerful statements that Paul made. Would he be able to say the same about us? We certainly hope so. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. We see another benefit in our lives and dealing with others as well to having a strong faith of our own is we can be an example to others and help them develop a strong faith that will lead them to Christ as well. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy. That in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. The pattern, the example. And that's the example that we can be. The example of faith that will lead others to Christ. Many results from strengthening our faith, both from a physical standpoint on this earth, but more importantly, I guess, from a spiritual standpoint, we see the results of having a strong faith. One night there was a house that caught fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground with outstretched arms and called to his son. He said, son, jump, I'll catch you. The son looked down and all he could see was the night and smoke that was billowing up. And he was scared and he yelled out to his father. He said, but I can't see you. His father replied and said, I can see you, and that's all that matters. When I think about that, we see that that is how we are with our Heavenly Father. That's the kind of faith that we need. We can't see God, but God can see us. And that's all that matters. We have to take that step sometimes out and trust and have faith that God's going to catch us, that God is there for us. And that's the strong faith and confidence that we need in our Father. That's the faith that we need. What about you? How strong is your faith? Is it a complete faith? Is it a believing and an obedient faith that the Lord requires of each of us? As we see, faith is an important part of our salvation. The message of Jesus was first believe, but it was also be baptized as well. And that's that complete faith. That not only we have a belief and confidence in the Lord, but also that we have that to motivate us to obedience. As we pointed out before, Paul says, I know who I have believed. I am persuaded. He had confidence. And he knew that he would stand before God in judgment and that he would give account for his life. Each of us need to realize that same thing this morning. And if your life is not right with God, if you don't have that relationship with God because you don't have the faith that you need, we hope that you'll make those changes this morning. And if we can help you in any way, we hope you'll respond to our Lord's invitation while together we stand and sing.